A new report from the federal government reveals for the first time that dozens of veterans have been deported since 2013. The report shows hundreds of veterans were placed in removal proceedings despite policies to help soldiers become citizens and avoid deportation. Reporting from Tijuana, Mexico and Chicago, WBEZ's Maria Ines Zamudio has our story.
In the first report of its kind, the U.S. Government Accountability Office reveals that at least 92 non-citizen veterans were deported since 2013. In all, about 250 soldiers ended up in removal proceedings. 85% of the deported veterans were legal permanent residents, and 26 of them tried to become citizens. Non-citizen veterans can be deported if convicted of certain crimes. But the report found that Immigration and Customs Enforcement, quote, did not consistently follow its policies involving veterans who are placed in removal proceedings. Those policies were meant to ensure that immigration officials take additional steps and consider the military service of non-citizen veterans facing deportation. Alex Murillo moved to Arizona legally as a kid. He enrolled in the Navy after high school, but his military service wasn't enough to prevent his deportation following a marijuana conviction. Murillo was shocked.
I'm not believing it while I'm going through it. And even at the end, when the judge was about to sentence me, he said, Mr. Murillo, I'm going to go on record here. It looks like, you know, you're not a bad guy. You know, it looks like you got in trouble and you ended up here in front of me. And the service that you did for your country is to be commended. Thank you for your service. But I'm going to have to deport you.
About 44,000 non-citizens served in the armed forces over the last 6 years, according to the report. WBEZ interviewed over a dozen deported veterans and found that most of them were told by recruiters that they would become citizens automatically. And when they read the oath of enlistment, they assume that they were automatically citizens. Murillo explains.
Swearing in into the military is pretty much identical as when you swear in to be a citizen. If you read or if you hear both of the the swearing statements, they're kind of identical. I, Alex Murillo, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
The report noted sluggish efforts to initiate naturalization process for non-citizens in the military. Margaret Stock is an immigration lawyer and retired lieutenant colonel. She said there's miscommunication between recruiters and the military.
There's been a long-standing tension because military recruiters often promise people that they will get citizenship if they join the United States Armed Forces. And recruiters are correct that the law allows people to get citizenship more quickly if they join the military. But the reality is that the Department of Defense actually has policies today that prevent people from applying for citizenship and prevent them from getting citizenship. And the Department of Defense is actively obstructing military members from getting citizenship today.
The report noted the naturalization applications declined rapidly between 2017 and 2018. Stock said things are getting worse under the current administration.
If you're serving honorably in the U.S. military during wartime, you can apply for citizenship when you report to basic training. And you're supposed to be able to get your citizenship at the end of training so that if you deploy overseas, you won't be creating an international legal problem for the United States government. But recently, a Department of Defense bureaucrat decided that she didn't like that law, and she issued an internal memo that says people cannot apply for citizenship. They have to wait 6 months.
Even those who begin the naturalization process can run into obstacles. Edwin Salgado started on the pathway to citizenship. The lack of communication and his deployment got in the way of finishing.
I started the process, but then 9/11 happened. I was deployed. Somewhere in there, no one said anything. I guess I had an appointment when I was deployed. No one told me anything, so it got stopped. I got back, and I was dealing with so many other issues that, you know, I didn't even think about it.
After a felony conviction, Salgado was deported in 2016 from California. He's now living in Tijuana, Mexico. If he had been a citizen, he wouldn't have been deported. Until recently, most Americans had never heard of military veterans being deported. The provision to deport non-citizens was part of an immigration law signed by former President Bill Clinton in 1996. The law made it possible to deport legal permanent residents who are convicted of certain felonies. A year earlier, Clinton laid out his rationale for harsher immigration enforcement in his State of the Union address.
All Americans, not only in the states most heavily affected, but in every place in this country, are rightly disturbed by the large numbers of illegal aliens entering our country. The jobs they hold might otherwise be held by citizens or legal immigrants. The public service they use impose burdens on our taxpayers. That's why our administration has moved aggressively to secure our borders more by hiring a record number of new border guards, by deporting twice as many criminal aliens as ever before.
But the 1996 law had an unintended consequence, deporting veterans. Now, several members of Congress are rethinking that law. One of them is Illinois Senator Tammy Duckworth, herself a veteran of the Iraq War and the daughter of an immigrant. Duckworth has introduced legislation to help immigrant veterans become citizens and bring deported veterans back home to the country they defended.
A nation that says, you know, okay, if you serve us, you can become a citizen. Now we're throwing them out onto the streets, and not even on the streets of America, on the streets of foreign nations. And I think that that is really a black eye on our nation.
But for the veterans who have been deported, they don't think much about the law or the politicians that made it easier to deport them. They say they just feel betrayed. Murillo explains.
It's a stab in the back. It's un-American to take a kid, you break him down, you form and shape him to what you want him to be, a soldier, and you send him out to do what you need him to do, whatever that may be. And once this kid has been broken and he comes back, then you don't take care of him, and then you exile him, you kick him out?
This story was supported by the Pulitzer Center. Marina Zamudio, WBEZ News.